The Kalaupapa National Historic Park was first established in 1980. It was meant to expand the National Historic Landmark of the Kalaupapa Leper Settlement. Those afflicted with Hansen's disease were sent into isolation, separated from their family and friends. The community flourished over the many decades and today is still home to about 100 people, though the actual number of patients is less than a dozen. 40 years later, we reflect on life there as the National Park Service is charged with protecting the historic, cultural, and natural resources in the settlement. Today, we hear from the superintendent of the park, Erica Stein Espinola. She talks about the efforts to green the settlement and manage the very special place.
The National Park Service's mission is in conservation, land conservation, and in preservation. So one of our big efforts has been in what we've been calling greening Kalaupapa. The Department of Health co-manages the peninsula with us, so they are in a process of closing out some of the landfills that they have managed. They've already closed out a municipal solid waste landfill. But this gave us the opportunity to create a pretty aggressive waste management program and be able to really have a more concerted, focused effort at it. Starting around 2010, we've been implementing this program, diverting waste. We have been able to divert at least 84% of the waste that was going to the landfill, and we've diverted it by implementing a recycling program and a composting program. Those are probably the two main aspects of it, and the composting program is producing this compost that's going back into community gardens, and with the recyclables, we stock them all up, and then we ship them out on our annual barge. We crush glass and use it as aggregate and backfill. Our program has won a couple of awards even. It won an Environmental Achievement Award and also a Keep America Beautiful Award. And sort of our next step that we're looking at is towards gasification. So all the waste that we have on the peninsula, or at least a portion of it, we're going to be able to gasify. So we have this micro-odification gasification unit, and it takes a little bit of diesel to get running. But then after that, it produces its own energy, and the end product is a biochar. So we'll be able to deal with more of the waste on site and not have to put it to any landfill, which doesn't exist anymore in Kalaupapa, and we won't have to, you know, ship them off island either or off the peninsula.
You folks have two options, right? You take your Opala either by plane and you fly it out of there, or you put it on a barge and send it back.
Yeah, that's right. So we have a contract right now for our regular household, we call it regular household waste, just the regular waste stream. We do a pickup 2 days a week, and whatever cannot be recycled or composted or stored for our barge operation, we fly out, because you can't, there's just some waste you cannot store for a long time. You don't want to store for a long time. So yeah, we're flying it out by plane right now, so we're really looking forward to that gasification unit so we can reduce our carbon footprint as well.
Can you talk about barge day? Because I think that's, you know, one thing that most people are familiar with Kalaupapa, as you bring in washers and dryers and, you know, big items.
Yeah, and all of our gas for the year as well. Anything for our historic preservation projects, any lumber, anything that we plan to do for a year, we need to think about it much further in advance to the summer before, because that's our one opportunity to get it onto the peninsula, and also our one opportunity to get it off of the peninsula every year. So it's a really big deal. And we, a few years ago, just did a standard repair upgrade to our water system, and so we redid the water tanks, but all that material had to come in on the barge. And so it's this interesting added challenge to the operation in Kalaupapa and having to plan around this single barge. And the reason why we have one barge is because it's really expensive. National Park Service and the Department of Health pay for it to come to Kalaupapa, and the winter months, we're on the North Shore, right? So the winter months are pretty much not accessible via water. So we just have a window of a few summer months where it's feasible to get something like a barge into the harbor.
Well, so there's lots to think about as we kind of look down the road, you know, when the last handful of residents, you know, leave Kalaupapa, and we know that there are meetings with all the stakeholders that have been happening. What can you share about that and the future? How often do you meet and what's on the horizon?
The National Park Service has been pretty involved in this planning process that is a general management plan, and it's also an environmental assessment. So we're meeting our requirements under the National Environmental Policy Act with that as well. So it's a big environmental document in addition to being a general management plan right now. And that was a really involved public process, and we also included some of the patients on our planning team. And the output of that, it's still getting finalized, but the output of that provides us with some very general guidance about our operation from the time it's signed into, it has a lifespan of about 15 to 20 years. So in that general guidance, we've identified that the vision for the National Park Service's operations in Kalaupapa in the future has an emphasis on partnerships. So we have a lot of partnerships already, and we are looking to develop more partnerships and just really have Kalaupapa be this collaborative place. We also have identified that there should be a free option to visit Kalaupapa. We've identified that kids under the age of 16 will be allowed. Under the Department of Health rules and regulations, they are not allowed to visit right now. We've also identified that there would be no new access. So right now people get to Kalaupapa by plane or by the trail and very occasionally by boat. So that's how people access Kalaupapa now is how people would access Kalaupapa in the future. We've also identified that if we have a new need, we would look to utilizing the existing buildings first. So we're really not looking to do really big construction projects in Kalaupapa. Also, infrastructure upgrades, you know, infrastructure just regularly needs updates and repairs and upgrades. And so anything that we would be doing along those lines would be upgrading it to the same level, so, or upgrading it to accommodate about the same number of people, right? So, you know, the electrical system needs some repairs, so we're repairing it basically for the community now.
Give us a snapshot of the community there. How many staff and how many residents?
The Park Service has about 41, 42 employees. Some of those are seasonal employees. I believe the Department of Health has around 35 employees. And there are 12 patients total, maybe about 6 that are regularly in Kalaupapa right now. And then there's some clergy that's in Kalaupapa as well. And then the U.S. Postal Service has an employee down there. So roughly we have about 100, 110 people of the people that are working and living there. With planning, we've identified that there's going to be a number of subsequent plans that we need to do, like we need to do a visitor use management plan, and we need to do a trail management plan and all these things. And most of these plans are going to also be a public process. So there's opportunities for people to help inform the Park Service's direction. On our historic preservation in general, this is, again, one of the other aspects of the Park Service's mission in Kalaupapa. And so we put a lot of effort into the cemeteries and cemetery management. The cemeteries are very impactful when you come to the peninsula, so it's really important that they're maintained well. I just have to share that recently I've been receiving some really nice compliments from the patients about how good the cemeteries are looking, and so that really means a lot to us. And then, of course, we have this cemetery preservation workshop happening right now. We also do historic preservation on the buildings and even the cultural landscape. So we have historical landscape architects who are giving us advice and guidance, and we're doing a lot of research on maintaining the entire landscape and not just the bits and pieces of it, but looking at it more holistically as well.
That was Erica Stein Espinola, Park Superintendent of Kalaupapa National Historic Park. Since the start of the COVID-19 pandemic, access to the settlement has been restricted. No tours are allowed as the population there is at risk and medical facilities are limited.